Thank you for listening to the Destined Youth Podcast. I have no idea why I'm talking like this, but apparently this is how most bumpers are supposed to sound. And now, let's begin. I don't think that's how they usually talk, though.
Welcome to Destined Youth. My name is Mike. Good to see you guys tonight. Let me know where you guys are watching from. Good to see YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Twitch, Kick. You know, the usual suspects. I got a good one for you guys tonight. You know, I realized on Kick, when I change the titles on Restream, it doesn't show on Kick. It just keeps saying my first stream, so we'll figure that out eventually. But yeah, praise God. Hopefully today we get more numbers on TikTok, but I've noticed a lot of people were saying when you use TikTok's live studio, you get less viewers. So hopefully that changes tonight in Jesus' name. But good to have you guys on today. Trying to think. Is it live on? Okay. Yeah, we're good. All right. Just want to make sure we're good on that. We are talking about the four types of giving today. I think I talked about this one time a few months back, probably back in May or June. But it wasn't that well made. It was a very low quality stream. I mean, we did it over there, so I didn't have the right lighting for it either. But we're going to do better today. So, four types of giving. First off, let me ask you this question. For anybody, if you're watching live or on replay, you ever had so much month at the end of your money? Like Jesse DePlantis would say, you ever had so much month at the end of your money? Have you ever been so broke that it just didn't make any sense? And I'll be honest. I'm not going to act like I'm, you know, I'm very hesitant to talk about topics like this sometimes because I understand that, you know, I'm not living in a private jet. I mean, I'm not flying in a private jet, at least not yet. You know, I'm not living in my own house yet. You know, I understand. You know, so for me, talking about stuff like this can be, it's not because I don't believe God. That's not why. It's because I understand that people can be can be jerks and be like, well, what about, I mean, what are you going to tell me? And people are less likely to receive from somebody, especially if they know them to an extent, be like, oh, well, I mean, I know you and, you know, you're not living this life. It's not that I'm not living the life. It's just that it's, you know, I'm growing into it. So today we're talking about four types of giving. I want you to open up your heart, first off, to realize that when it comes to giving, God wants you to give not because, and this is not for an offering, this is just letting you know, God wants you to give because he wants to bless you. The way God set up everything is when you give, it comes back to you. Now, how much depends upon you, depends upon your level of faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's the seed. And then whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the harvest. So God gave his son so that whoever would believe would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the harvest. So it's a give and then there's a receiving. There's a receiving. There should be a receiving on the end of every giving. Now, obviously, we understand it's more blessed to give than to receive. The reason we feel that way is because that you feel better when you give to somebody who needs it. You feel better when you give knowing that you obeyed God. You get that warm, fuzzy feeling when you give to somebody. Amen. Hey, Lila, don't worry about it today. You don't have to. It's all right. I want you to go with me to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Actually, no. Before we go there, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to show you guys something real quick. I'm going to read this. This is chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. And I'll just stop when I get ready. Now it is unnecessary for me to write to you about the offering that is made for the saints in Jerusalem. For I know your eagerness to promote this cause, and I have proudly boasted to the people of Macedonia about it, telling them that Achaia has been prepared since last year for this contribution, and your enthusiasm has inspired the majority of them to respond. Still, I am sending the brothers on to you so that our pride in you may not be an empty boast in this case, so that you may be prepared just as I told them that you would be. Otherwise, if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, to say nothing of yourselves, will be humiliated for being so confident. That is why I thought it was necessary to urge these brothers to go to you before I come. Hold on. Before I come to make arrangements in advance for this generous previously promised gift of yours, so that it would be ready, not as something extorted for wrung out of you, but as a voluntary and generous gift. Now, remember this, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows generously, that blessings may come to others, will also reap generously and be blessed. Let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he decided to in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing, come in abundance to you, so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in him, and having an abundance for every good work and act of charity. The Bible says in that, and he says in Psalms 112:9, he, the benevolent and generous person, scattered abroad, he gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, this is talking about God here. Now, he who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing, that is, your resources, and increase the harvest of your righteousness, which shows itself in active good, kindness, and love. You will be enriched in every way so that you may be generous, and this generosity administered through us is producing thanksgiving to God for all those who benefit. For the ministry of this service offering is not only supplying the needs of the saints, God's people, but also overflowing through many expressions of God's thanksgiving to God. Because of this act of ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to the gospel of Christ, which you confess, as well as for your generous participation in this gift for them and for all the other believers in need. And they also long for you while they pray on your behalf because of the surpassing measure of God's grace, his undeserved favor and merited. We talked about mercy and blessing, which is revealed in you. Now, thanks be to God for his kindness, his indescribable gift, which is beyond words. So, first, I want to show you that because God through Paul, calls your finances a seed. The moment God called finances a seed is the moment you realize that that your giving has growing power. There's power behind your giving. Before I go into any of these types of giving, there you have power in your giving. I don't just give to say, well, you know, I just wanted to help out and be a good person today. No, there's power behind your giving. God is pleased when you give. Not just that, but you can expect a harvest. Do you know any farmers who sow seed and don't expect a harvest? I'm going to plant this apple seed, but if I don't get any trees, it's all right. No, you have a job. Your job is to farm. If you don't have anything to farm, you failed. You see what I'm saying? In this particular verse of scripture, or this particular particular passage that we just read, we see that Paul is talking to them because they had just been, they promised that they were going to give a gift to the church in Jerusalem. And so Paul's like, yo, we're very excited about it. So I'm going to send these people ahead of you so that way they can get the gift ready before I show up so I can come and take it and give it to the people. So you have to realize that when we give, or not when we give, you have to realize that that these people promised that they were going to give a gift to these people. And Paul wanted them to be sure that anytime you give, it will come back to you. It will come back to you. You have a promise that it will come back to you. Praise God. So we're going to talk about the four types of giving. Now that you understand that God sees your giving as a seed, God sees it as a seed. It doesn't matter what theologian tells you. Well, actually, that's not what he's talking about. No, it's in the word. It's simple. It's simple. It will come back to you. Go to Malachi chapter 3. As I said, we were on to before. Malachi chapter 3. Hold on. All right. Here we go. Behold, this is chapter 3. Behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will prepare and clear the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure? We're going to skip down a little bit. Verse 6. For I'm the Lord, I do not change, but remain faithful to my covenant with you. That is why you, O sons of Jacob, have not come to an end. Yet from the days of your fathers you have turned away from my statutes and ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? So you got to remember, these people, they think they're doing everything right. They think they got it down pat. But God answered them. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, in what way have we, robbed you? He says, in the tithes and the offerings you have withheld. So they had been living right. They were doing all this stuff. But the one thing they weren't doing, they were not giving. He says, number in this verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, this whole nation. Bring all the tithes, the tenth, into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you so great a blessing until there is no more room to receive it. Then I will rebuke the devourer or the insects or the plagues for your sake, and he will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field drop its grapes before harvest, says the Lord of hosts. All nations shall call you happy and blessed. For you shall be a land of delight, says the Lord. There you go. So the first one we're going to talk about is the tithe. The tithe, I'm going to pull it up because I got the notes here. I had it on my pad, but I'm going to do this instead. The tithe opens up the possibility of God's blessing in your finances to you. Your tithe is you giving, you tying your finances to God, and it puts God's divine approval on your money and everything you own. Remember, this isn't just talking about dollar bills in your pocket or money in your account. This is talking about assets. You know, all that stuff. I also want you to write this down if you're taking notes. That the tithe is given to God through churches out of obedience. That's why he says here, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. The storehouse is the house. He said that there may be meat in my what? My house. Now, what did Jesus say was the house? Remember, he said, my father's house shall be called a house of what? Prayer. That's the church. That's the temple. Now, people say, now this is a question I get all the time. They say, do you believe that we have a curse on us if we don't tithe? I personally do not. But I do believe that you are susceptible in your finances to attack. Remember, there are different graces that we talked about yesterday. There are different graces for different things. There are different graces for different things. So that means that you have to be able to tap into the financial grace of God. Remember, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to create wealth. That power is just the grace or the anointing to create wealth. Part of that anointing is tithing. God keeps the devourer away from your crops. I'll give you a story about this guy. And I use this story all the time because it blesses me. This guy, his daughter was 6 years old, and she jumps into the pool. She almost drowns. I don't even think she was that old. I think she was probably like younger than five, or she's probably like 3 or 4 years old. She jumps into the pool, and she drowns. She drowns, y'all. And so the guy's like, they find her. She's like not breathing. She got water all up in her lungs and stuff. So they call 911. He starts, doing the chest pump and then none working. So this is what happens. He gets so mad. He says, I'm a tither. I'm a giver. He said, devil, take your hands off my stuff. The devourer is rebuked for my sake. Instantly, the girl starts coughing up all this water. All this water comes up. She starts coughing. The ambulance pulls up. And they put her in the car because technically they still have to do it. So they get out. So the ambulance pulls them to the hospital. And the doctors are like, where's the girl that needs to be operated on? She said, I'm right here. You see what I'm saying? The finances kept the devourer away from that man's crops, spiritually, physically, financially. He protects all of your assets. Well, doesn't God do that anyway? Yes, he protects your life, but your assets are protected through your financial covenant with God. You have a lot of people, think about it, you have a lot of people who believe in healing, but they don't believe in finance, and vice versa. You probably have a lot less people that believe in finance, but not healing. But you still have some, though. And the thing is, that's why their finances are always tight. But guess what? They develop cancer, or vice versa. You know, they don't ever have cancer, but they can't afford to pay their rent on time. So the tithe allows you to keep the wealth that God is giving to you. Amen. Amen. When you tithe, it protects you from recession and depression. Tithing is not an Old Testament thing. It's not a New Testament thing. This was pre-Moses. This was before Moses. This was Abraham. Some people even argue that Adam and Eve, when God said, don't touch the tree, that one tree, the knowledge of good and evil, some people believe that that was a tithe. You had all these other trees in the garden, but you wanted my tree. Amen. The next type of giving you're going to run across in the Bible is the first fruits. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. We're going to read verse 1. No, 26. Sorry, my bad. 26. Couldn't even read that. 26. Then it shall be, when you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, and you take possession of it and live in it, that you shall take some of the first of all produce of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God gives you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name or his presence. You shall go to the priest who is in office at the time, and he and say to him, I declare this day to the Lord that to the Lord my God that I have entered the land which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest will take the basket from you and place it before the altar of the Lord, and you shall say before the Lord your God, my father Jacob was a wandering Aramean, and he along with his family went down to Egypt and lived there as strangers, few in number, but while there he became a great, mighty, and populous nation. And the Egyptians treated us badly and oppressed us and imposed hard labor on us. But then we cried out to God, the Lord our God, the Lord, the God of our fathers, for help. And he heard our voice and saw our suffering, our labor, and our cruel oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terror, suffered by the Egyptians and with great signs and wonders. And he has brought us to this place and has given us this land flowing with milk and honey. Now look, I have brought the first of the produce to the ground of the ground which you, O Lord, have given me, and you shall place it before the Lord your God, and you shall worship before the Lord your God, and you and the Levite and the stranger or the resident alien among you shall rejoice in the good, in all the good which the Lord your God has given you in your household. Amen. That should be your first of your ground. I'm going to read something else real quick in Deuteronomy 26. So, the tithe Not the tithe, the first fruits is given to God through the shepherd of the house. Notice how it's given to the priest. It's given to the priest. So it's given to the pastor. When I say the shepherd of the house, I'm talking about your church, your pastor. Given out of appreciation for the work of God in our lives. If promotion is given, give the first of that promotion to God. And it's one time. Go to Ezekiel. This is every time you step foot, every time you get expanded, you give it to God. You give that to God. Notice how he said, you will take this and you will declare this day that this is the land the Lord has given you. So it's that one time. You do it one time, and then every time God expands you, you keep doing that. Go to Ezekiel 44 real quick. The first of all the first fruits of every kind and every contribution and offering of every kind from all your contributions and offerings shall belong to the priests, and you shall give to the priest the first of your coarse meal and bread dough, so that a blessing may rest on your house. So they eat it. Your first fruits help take care of your pastor. Your first fruits help take care of your pastor. Your tithe helps take care of your pastor. You have to think of it like this. My giving is important. Because if you know, the way we treat our finances in the natural, we know what we get. We know what we spend money on. How we spend it. We know what streams of income we have coming in. So we need to be just as precise with the type of giving we do. Okay, I gave this, and this is this type of giving here. What does the Bible say belongs to me because of that giving? Blah, blah, blah. And I'll give you an example of first fruit. Let's say you make $50,000 a year. I'll go even simpler so that you can have like a more closer look at how it works. Let's say you make $12,000 a month. Praise God. You get paid $12,000 a month. I'll go even smaller than that. Let's say every 2 weeks you get paid $3,000. I'm lowering your cost, but it's all right. Let's say every 2 weeks you get paid $3,000. You're going, and then they say, "Hey, we're going to give you a raise." You get raised up to $4,000, right? That first time you get paid the $4,000, you're going to take the first $1,000, and give it to God as first fruits. That is signifying to God, "God, I'm letting you know right now, I remember you're the one who brought me here to this point. You're the one who got me to this point I'm at right now. Nobody else. You may have, look, my boss may have gave me that promotion, but promotion comes from you." Amen. And so that's how the first fruits work. Every time you get expanded, you remember the Lord your God by giving him the first of that promotion. When it comes to the tithe, obviously, you give the tenth of the first tenth of everything. How does that work? Well, how do I give my tenth and my first fruits? In that case, give your tithe and your first fruits. You just add them all together. Thanks to Cash App, you can just add and do subtraction or whatever. Praise the God. You ain't even got to take turns. You can just do it all at the same time. Amen. Shabba. Now let's go to almsgiving. Almsgiving. Almsgiving in Proverbs 28. We're going to go there real quick because why the heck not? Proverbs 28. Hold on. It's like these pages, like, I can't, like, grip them. What the heck is wrong right now? Here we go. All right. Verse 27. "He who gives to the poor will never want, but he who shuts his eyes from their need will have many curses." You could just say they'll have many bad things happen to them. Amen. Amen. Have many, many things happen to him. "He who gives to the poor will never want." God will make sure that you never want. It's given to man. It's not given to a church. It's given to man. This is given to people who are in need, who are struggling. So if I go to somebody and they have like no money in the bank, and they just like, you could tell they're on like rock bottom. You know, and let's talk about that for a minute, because a lot of people think that because, you know, Jesus said we should not expect to receive. He wasn't talking about you don't expect to receive, period. He was saying don't expect to receive from the people you gave to. Don't expect to give to people or to receive from the people you gave to. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem. Hey, I expect to have that $50 back on my desk Monday morning. Well, why? That's the problem. Matthew 6:3. This is a scripture that a lot of people misinterpret. And we're going to explain that a little bit. Matthew 6:3. He says here, "But when you give to the poor and do acts of kindness, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give in complete secrecy so that your charitable acts will be done in secret. And your Father who sees what is done will reward you openly." I don't know why the Amplified translation says "and will reward you," period. No, it says "openly." Because honor is given openly. Because you think about it, honor begets honor. It keeps on growing. If I honor somebody, that means somebody's going to begin to trust that person because I honored them, and it'll just build more honor. So I don't know why they do it like that. It's like, it's irritating me. Now, the thing is, you have to learn how to give in private. That's the problem with, like, you know, and there's nothing wrong with giving to people who, like, have, who give on video. But honestly, real talk, why do you need to give on video? Just so we can spread acts of kindness? Okay, well then tell, just be nice, period. I'll be honest, I've never watched a video of somebody giving to a poor man and was like, man, I need to go out and give more. That's not how it works. You need to be a giver at your heart anyway. A true Christian is a giver. We just read in 2 Corinthians how when you give, God will make sure that you have more so you can keep giving. Because here's how it works. If you become a broken faucet where when water goes through you, you don't run water, guess what? They shut the sink off. And if you become a person, when God gives you money, you don't give out what you give or what you get, what you've received, then God can't trust you with any more. And he won't. God does not have an obligation to bless you if you're not a giver. That's the thing about it. God has no obligation to do so. So it's given to man in need, given to man in the time of need in private. If told openly in a prideful spirit or publicly, the blessing is canceled. The reason Jesus was so adamant about that was because back in the day, back in his time, the Pharisees, the people that opposed Jesus, would literally take a shofar or a horn and whatever, and they would go out and they would put on this big show when they would give to somebody. They'd be like, bah, 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 whatever they would sing or whatever they would blow into their horn. And then they would be like, attention, everybody. Basically, we're going to give to this poor knucklehead because he can't afford to do nothing but for himself. Look at this poor, helpless, ugly old man. Boo-hoo. Woo, woe is me. That's what we're going to do. And guess what? That man would feel humiliated. So yes, he got the money, but now he felt like trash and dirt. Amen. So when you give in private. Don't be like, hey, yo, I heard you need $100. No, you're just like, hey, look. Here's money. Here's some money for you. I'm so sorry you're going through that, man. You know, be a person. Be a nice person. God has no obligation to bless people who are jerks. Jerks. Cheapskates. You know, I can't stand a cheapskate. If you can't afford the nice thing, just don't buy anything at all. Unless you know you're going to buy the thing soon. But even then, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. The last one we're going to deal with is the seed. A lot of people think that when they give tithes or first fruits or alms, it's a seed, but a seed is by itself. It's a seed. And there are three different types of. There is a regular seed, but then there's three other seeds you can give that I put under that one. The seed. Go to Luke 6:38 real quick before we go any further on that. Luke 6:38. Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, with no space left for more. For with the standard of measurement you use when you do good to others, it will be measured to you in return. It will be measured to you in return. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. In good measure, right? So a seed, and we're going to go to Genesis 26 in a second, is given to God through churches or men of God. It's given to people who are serving the Lord. Go to Genesis 26. Just like skipped like everything. Genesis 26. All right. Now, there was a famine in the land of Canaan, besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. The Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I will tell you. Live temporarily as a resident in this land, and I will be with you. And I will bless and favor you, for I will give you all these lands to you and your descendants. And I will establish and carry out the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heavens. And I will give to you, I will give to your descendants all these lands. And by your descendants shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because Abraham listened to and obeyed my voice and consistently kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac stayed in Gerar. I don't know what it is, Gerar. The men of the place asked him about his wife and said, "She's my sister," for he was afraid to say my wife, thinking the men of the place might kill me on account of Rebekah, since she is very beautiful. It happened when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of the window and saw Isaac caressing Rebekah, his wife. And then Abimelech called Isaac and said, "See here, Rebekah is in fact your wife. How did you dare say to me, she is my sister?" And Isaac said, "Because I thought I might be killed on account of her desirability." Abimelech said, "What is this thing that you have done to us? One of the men among our people might easily have been an intimate with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us before God." Then Abimelech commanded all his people, "Whoever touches this man, Isaac, or his wife Rebekah, shall without exception be put to death." Then Isaac planted seed in the land, and as a farmer reaped in the same year 100 times as much as he planted, and the Lord blessed and favored him. Now, I want you to know this. Remember, in the beginning it says, and there was a famine in the land. There was a famine in the land. And so he sowed seed, or he planted seed, and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed and favored him. That's a seed right there. Seed has the power supernaturally to be, first off, you got to remember this. Isaac, just like his dad, was a tither. This is given in faith. A seed is given in faith that in time you will reap 30, 60, or 100-fold of whatever you sow. You must be instructed on what to do. When I say you must be instructed, that means the Holy Spirit, you'll feel led in your own spirit to do it, but the Holy Spirit will tell you what to give. And it says, you'll know if you get 30, 60, or 100-fold based on the generosity of your heart when you give. If you give big, you receive big. Each seed reproduces after its own kind, except money. Except money. For instance, cars, I know a guy who, I know people who've sown cars and they've reaped cars. I know people who've sown houses, they reaped houses. I know people who did all kind of stuff. Amen. So, that's sowing seed right there. Go to Ecclesiastes 10:19. I'm going to show you why it works that way. Because I asked God, I was like, okay, so let me get this straight. You said that we can sow a car and get a car. We can sow a house and get a house. We can sow good seed, meaning we can be merciful to people and reap mercy. I said, so how in the world can I sow money and get a house if it only produces what after its own kind? Because Genesis 1 and 2 talk about how they reproduce after their own kind. Because if you and your wife did the thing-ma-thing and she gave birth to a lamp, you would have an issue right now. So I asked him, why can I sow money and get back something else? He says, go to Ecclesiastes 10:19. It says here, the officials make a feast for enjoyment instead of repairing what is broken, and serve wine to make life merry, and money is the answer to everything. He said, think about it. Your whole world is built around the value of money. This camera's worth money. This laptop's worth money. This microphone's worth money. This Bible's worth money. This phone is worth money. Everything is worth money, has a money value behind it. Amen. Everything has a money value behind it. That's why you can sow money and reap something else. Amen. Go to, we're going to talk about the three different types of seeds. So you have seed, but then there's three specific types that you can, that I didn't think they deserved their own category because they could be categorized as a seed. Go to Luke 8 for me. Luke 8. Luke 8, 1. Soon, and I'm going to read Luke 8, 1 through 3. Soon after, Jesus began going around from city and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 disciples were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene from the city of Magdala in Galilee, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanne, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means, as was the custom for a rabbi's disciples. So you can support a traveling ministry. That's your first, that's one of the other types of seeds. You can partner with traveling ministries. Elijah is a good example. The widow partnered with a traveling ministry. The Shunammite woman is a good example of partner with a traveling ministry, supporting a man of God on his journey. Paul is a good example. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. A lot of people say, well, God's already supplying my needs. I don't need to give to do that. Wrong. That's not true. If God was already supplying the Philippians' needs, why did Paul feel the need to tell them again? If God was already doing it, what did them giving have to do with God supplying their needs? There had to have been something. There is a blessing. God will make sure that your needs are not just met, but that they're overflowing. So that way you have, well, you know, that's the thing people have to understand. People say, well, I don't understand why I need to do all that. I don't understand that. Why I need to give, why do I need to give to people? But the reality is, the giving isn't for God. It's for you. It's for you. And you have to understand this, that when you give and you get back, people say, I don't need all that money. I don't need all that. That's the point. That's why he said he's able to make all earthly favor and blessing come to you, because you have to realize this, that as you when you have too much, that's the point. Because givers can give out of their overflow. You have to be able to give out of your overflow, because the Bible says he who does not take care of his own house is worse than an infidel and has left the faith. So if I can't support you, if I can't support my own family, then something's wrong. And that's a reality that nobody who loves to give wants to face. When you first start out, you have to make sure that you're taken care of, and you have to trust God. Amen. Number two, sacrificial offering. The lady with the alabaster box. She gave the alabaster box. You know that alabaster box was not cheap. It was not cheap. And so Judas is all mad. We could have used that to give to the poor. The Bible says that Judas didn't really care about that. He really did. And Jesus was like, hey, shut up. She's doing this for me. He said, and she's going to be remembered forever. See, she gave that, and that she became known as the lady that gave the alabaster box. She has honor on her name now because of sowing the seed to God out of sacrifice. The lady that gave the last two, for lack of a better word, for the last two, I think it was mites that she had, or whatever they call it. Guess what? She's remembered as the lady who gave. And God said that she gave more than the people who had millions of dollars in the bank and only gave 10 bucks. See, that's the thing I'm talking about right now, is that you have to realize that it doesn't matter how much, it doesn't matter how much you give. It matters where's your heart when you give it. Where's your heart when you give it? Are you giving because, I don't want this pastor on my back? Or are you giving because you love God? I love God. I just love, I want to see his kingdom grow. I want to see the gospel advance. And honestly, because, Lord, this money I have in my hand is not enough to do anything with it. So I'm putting it in your hand because I trust that you'll be able to handle it, that you'll be able to multiply it. The same way that boy gave the two fish and the five loaves of bread to Jesus, I'm 100% sure that that boy got back all 12 baskets. I'm so sure of that. There's no way he gave that and Jesus was like, hey, thanks, now run along. No, he got back those 12 baskets. It's seed and it's a harvest. So then, people, let's talk about this a little bit, and I'm going to run a little bit longer than usual. People always talk about money like, well, how can you talk about this when there's poor people? Whether I'm poor or not, they're going to be poor. How can, what does me being well off have to do with them? The Bible says the poor will have with you always. The poor you will have with you always. Do you understand that? That no matter, and all these people trying to come up with these ways we can all have equal distribution of money, that's wicked. The Bible, bro, go to, is it Luke? It's Luke, not my, Luke 9:19. I think it's Luke 9:19. Not Luke 9:19. I think it's 10:19. Don't quote me on that. I might be wrong. I'm gonna find it. Hold on. Luke 19. Okay, that's what it was. Luke 19, verse 12. Yeah, Luke 19, verse 12. So all these people who think God is socialist and he's like trying to get equal money distribution, you're going to get your socks blown off. Watch this. He says here, so he said, a nobleman went to a distant country to obtain for himself a kingdom and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas, one apiece, each equal to about 100 days' wages, and said to them, do business with this until I return. But his citizens, the residents of his new kingdom, hated him and sent delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to be king over us. When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these servants to whom he had given the money be called to him, that he might find out what business they had done. The first one came before him and said, Lord, your mina has made 10 more minas. And he said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you have proved yourself faithful and trustworthy in very little thing, you shall now have authority over 10 cities. Now I'm going to skip because the second one turned it into 5, And let me see. The next one. He was, okay, here's the next one. He says, I was always afraid of you. This is the third one. He says, I was always afraid of you because you are a stern man. You pick up what you did not lay down and you reap what you did not sow. He said to the servant, I will judge and condemn you by your own words. You worthless servant. Did you really know that I was a stern man picking up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow? Then why did you not at the very least put my money in a bank? Then on my return, I would have at least collected it with interest. Then he said to the bystanders, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. What? But God, he already... No, actually, what's funny is they said that. Watch this. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas already. Jesus explained, I tell you that everyone who has because he valued his gifts from God and has used them wisely, more will be given. But from the one who does not have the because he disregarded his gifts from God, even what he has will be taken away. Even what he has will be taken away. Amen. Even what he has will be taken away. So, this seed, this, look, when it comes to seed and finances and stuff, say what people want to say, God cares about this stuff till the very end. Until we hear that trumpet sound and we leave this planet, you have an obligation to do much for the kingdom of God. And it's not going to get done worrying about the dollar collapsing and all that kind of stuff. Focus on your on the task God gave you. If the dollar collapses and Jesus still hasn't come back, you still have a job to do. You still have an you still have an opportunity to preach the gospel. You need to take it. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that you've shown us how to give. You've shown us what we can receive by the word of God. Father, we thank you that we will see many returns on seeds we've sown, even harvests that don't have a name on it, Lord. Cause us to remember those things that we've sown that we aren't aware of, that you've already lined up the harvest for us in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, give your life to Jesus Christ. All this money talk is great, but if you don't know where you're going when you die, that is more important. We can talk about money, we can talk about giving all we want to, but if you've never given your life to Jesus, make it clear tonight. Make it clear tonight that I am dedicating my life to Jesus Christ and I'm done playing with this world. Amen. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, say this prayer with me and mean it from your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned and I repent. I believe in my heart you raised Jesus from the dead. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord of my life. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And fill me with the Holy Spirit as you promised you would. I know I'm saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations if you prayed that prayer. Congratulations. You can now say, before 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on November 1st, 2023, that you gave your life to Jesus Christ, that I know I'm saved because of this day right here. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to fill out this form. Let us know you prayed that prayer with us, and we greatly appreciate it. We're going to send you a podcast that gives you a couple doctrines on how to live a Christian life. It'll help you out greatly. I think you'll enjoy it. In Jesus' name. All right. So we thank you for listening tonight. If you liked what you saw and you want to support what we're doing, consider giving. We are preaching the gospel 24/7, pretty much. We have videos constantly going up all the time. We're live streaming 4 times a week. Our videos are constantly reaching people, and we praise God for it. And we're only getting started. And if that sounds like something you want to support, here are the ways you can. So you can give through cryptocurrency. You can go to our website, destinyyth.com/give. Or you can go through PayPal, which is destinyyth. We do Venmo, DYGive, and so we do that. And that's the same thing on Cash App as well. We greatly appreciate it. Greatly appreciate your giving. We don't take it for granted. Praise God. I'll tell you one thing. And I hope, you know, I'm going to make a video on TikTok pretty soon. Because I want to discuss something with TikTok real quick. But to all my live streamers out there, don't use TikTok Live Studio. It's worthless. I mean, it's bad. This is the last night we're going to be using that. I'm just going to go live from my phone, and we're just going to call it a night. Because I've gone live so many times these last couple of days. Well, I've gone live twice this week alone. And I get more viewers for some reason on my phone than I do on TikTok. I don't understand how that works. I'm not upset. Well, no, that's not true. I am upset. But anyway, either way, I'll deal with it later. So, thank you so much for giving. I pray right now in the name of Jesus. I bless you financially, that the Lord may his favor shine upon you. May his face shine upon you. May he favor you. May the blessing of God continue to make you rich. May his grace and mercy, his goodness and mercy continue to bless you. In Jesus' name. Thank you for watching on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, Twitch, Kick. I love you. And I'll be back tomorrow. I don't know yet. I don't know what we'll be talking about yet. But I like it that way. I'll see you the next time. All right. Peace out.